Please join me in a prayer attributed to Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I might so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Good morning, church. I'm going to say some names. I'm going to say some names that you, in all probability, have never heard. Marie Deli, Tomine Johns, Rosanna Pleasant, Shamala Beck Buckner, Tammy Jarvis, Ayanna Smith. These are the names of just a small number of the many Black women missing and suspected of being victims of domestic abuse in the United States. I wish I could say the names of all the Black women missing this morning, but unfortunately, I cannot. The fact that I cannot say all the names is unfortunate because I am limited. I am not limited by my caring to have for each of them. I'm limited because there are so many of them that there is not time. According to NPR, tens of thousands of Black women vanish every year in our country, but you don't hear their names. Wolf Blitzer doesn't say their names. Judy Woodruff didn't say their names. The abuse and absence of Tomine, Rosanna, Ayanna, or Tammy didn't make national news. It didn't demand our attention. Jennifer Dulos. All of you have heard that name. And it's not simply because she was from Connecticut. You couldn't turn on the news, national or local, without hearing that name. Her disappearance demanded national attention. The disappearance of one rich white woman was national headlines. Not only did her disappearance demand the attention of the nation, it commanded the resources of at least five different police departments, the Hartford Fire Department, the sanitation departments of at least two towns, the Metropolitan District, and the FBI. Technological tools like bone finders and DNA analysis were applied in an effort to find her. There was massive excavation and the uncountable hours of investigators who, according to their own proclamations, pursued and exhausted every possible lead. Yes, we all knew the name Jennifer Dulos, but did you hear the name of Ashley Armstrong? Do you remember the names of Dante Davis or Rhonda Johnson? Probably not. You see, these are the names of three Connecticut Black women who went missing. Why do we proclaim that Black lives matter? Because for those of us who pay attention, we are given the message daily that they do not. To this day, I hear people say all lives matter. They ask, why do you have to say that only Black lives matter? First of all, nobody said only Black lives matter. What we are really saying is that Black lives matter also. That the abuse, disappearance, and murder of a Black woman is just as tragic, just as significant as that of a white woman. But our society does not tell us that. Black lives do matter. And I'm blessed to be a member of a congregation that understands that. Now, everybody who hears me right now has probably seen and heard the name Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito was tragically murdered and is suspected to be a victim of domestic violence. Gabby was a white woman, and her disappearance garnered national attention. Her disappearance demanded the attention of the nation as well as the resources of several agencies, local, multi-state, and federal. We all know the name Gabby Petito. I'm going to say some other names, some names that you probably have never heard. Cameron Hill. Shawnee Smith, Phoebe Ortegon, Rose Longhi, Roberta Raines. These are the names of just a few of the red-skinned women who have disappeared and suspected to be the victim of domestic violence in Wyoming, the same state where Gabby Petito's body was found. According to a report issued by Wyoming's Murdered and Missing Indigenous Peoples Task Force, over 700 Indigenous people went missing in Wyoming alone, but you didn't hear their names. You don't know their names, but it's not your fault that you don't know their names. You don't know their names because you weren't told their names. And you weren't told their names because our society does not consider their lives and thus their disappearance as important as the life of a white woman. We are the people of Jesus, my brothers and sisters. As such, we are obligated to follow his teachings and example. We must consider the lives of all as important. The lives of the least among us is the most important. That is what Jesus taught. As people of the way, we cannot rest while Black lives or red lives or brown lives are treated as less important than white lives. We must reject the notion that the lives of the rich are more important than the lives of the poor. And we cannot allow our comfort, our privilege, to get in the way of our sense of responsibility to act out the words of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we hear the name Jennifer Dulos, a rich white woman who is missing, we must wonder and ask about the hundreds, no thousands of poor white women who are missing, the many red, and brown and Black women that are missing. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus states that it will be extremely difficult for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. He does not say it is impossible. He says it will be extremely difficult. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus say this? Is there something about money itself that separates the rich from the love of God or serving God? I don't think so. I mean, is there something about currency itself, shekels or dollars, that corrupts a person? I don't think so. And why does Jesus say that a rich person must give all his possessions away in order to inherit the kingdom, in order to be his follower? Is that literally what the master is saying? I, for one, do not think so. I think that Jesus speaking in parables here the same as he has many times before. I think that Jesus is saying that we must rid ourselves of all things that separate us from him. And A, we have a saying that whatever you place before your recovery, you will lose. That for us alcoholics, our sobriety must be the most important thing to us. If we place our jobs before our recovery, we will drink again. And when we drink again, we will lose that job. If we place our possessions before our recovery, we will drink again and we will lose those possessions. The only way to gain and maintain sobriety is to make it our number one priority. We must be willing to go to any lengths to maintain sobriety. Anything that comes between us and our program of recovery has to go. And that is the point that Jesus is making here, that anything that becomes between us and fidelity to him has to go. It is not being rich in and of itself that is the problem. It is what we allow it to do to us that is the problem. And Jesus' point about being rich is well taken. There's something about financial wealth that leads a person to be more concerned about maintaining that wealth than anything else. It is not just individuals that get caught up in this. I remember the mega Christian church in Louisiana that was located on high ground and was not subject to flooding. When Katrina hit, several appeals was made to that church to open its vast halls to God's children who were trying to escape the water. The church did not heed those pleas because it was more concerned about the integrity of its property than it was concerned about the safety of God's children. I'm aware of the Roman church that was more concerned with maintaining its wealth and position than it was about the sexual exploitation of God's babies. The institution's vast wealth made it more concerned about protecting its own existence than protecting the most vulnerable among us. The very organization that purported to be Jesus' sole representative on earth acted in direct defiance of Jesus' teaching. Their power, their wealth, their very existence became more important to them than the words of Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus was talking about when he spoke of the rich, the camel, the eye of the needle, and the kingdom of God. So yes, Jesus is clear about the rich and their relationship with God. It is not inevitable that being rich will separate you from Jesus, but it is likely. The richer you get, the more things there are that make you forget what is really important. However, wealth can be used to further God's mission. Very few people know about those two West Indian Christian men who used their wealth and power to rescue the civil rights movement in its darkest hour. The movement of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was and is a Christian movement, a Jesus-inspired movement. You probably don't know who these two men are and what they did, because they were deeply Christian men who did not proclaim their deeds from the rooftops. They didn't publicize what they did. They were humble. They were men who were wealthy and who would thread that needle. They drove the southern highways at midnight to deliver funds where they were needed to keep the movement going. They put their lives at risk to support the Jesus movement. Their names were Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier. Coretta Scott King called them those two West Indian boys who quietly saved the movement. Wealth can be used to bring us to God's kingdom, and wealth does not necessarily keep you away. It does not necessarily separate you, nor does it separate us. You must rid yourself of those things that prevent you from truly living into what God wants you to be, who you know you should be. For some of us, it is money, but that is not true of all of us. Are your resentments preventing you from following in the footsteps of our Lord? Is it pride? Is it drugs? Is it your unwillingness to deal with the realities of day-to-day life? There is nothing wrong, I contend, with living in a fabulous house on a hill. But when that house prevents you from hearing the cries of God's people in the valley, then there is a problem. It is not the house itself that is the problem. It is your relationship with the house that is the problem. You have allowed it to become between you and your obligation to love. There is nothing wrong with being angered by the mistreatment and disappearance of Jennifer Dulos. But when your obsession with the rich and the famous makes you forget the poor and the obscure, then there is a problem. You've forgotten our way, the way of Jesus. When you lament the disappearance of and murder of Gabby Petito, but do not question the disappearance of hundreds of red people, then you have lost knowledge of Jesus. Comfort has come between you and the call of Jesus to love and care for all his children, particularly the most vulnerable. You must not allow your comfort and your wealth to serve as a barrier between us and God's children. We must use our wealth, power, and influence to shine a light on God's forgotten children. At every opportunity, we must remind ourselves and others of our responsibility to not ignore, not forget. When someone mentions to you the tragedy of Gabby Petito, it would be appropriate for you to concur and state that you also mourn the loss of the over 700 red women who have disappeared in Wyoming. You should mention that you are angry about their abuse as well. And I think our press outlets should be inundated with phone calls and emails and regular mail whenever they act in overtly racist ways. I do consider it overtly racist to shine a light, tonight after night, make the lead story of Jennifer Dulos while at the same time ignoring the disappearance and murder of many Black women. We, as the people of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, cannot allow our comfortable positions to permit us to ignore the plight of the missing Black children of Jesus. We must act on it. Our faith demands it. When we see CNN send a crew to Wyoming to cover the disappearance of a visiting white woman while simultaneously ignoring the disappearance of hundreds of indigenous people, we must speak out. That is overt racism. The color of a person's skin should not dictate the level of indignation manifested by society at their mistreatment. And for those of us who find ourselves enjoying the comfort of life, for those of us who live in relative comfort, much is expected of us. It is more difficult to us to live the life of Jesus that Jesus demanded. After all, as Jesus said, from everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. Amen.